Here's Pastor Brian as he continues a week of questions and answers.
Welcome to today's program, and all this week we are answering Bible questions. Today we're going to be focusing once again on the Holy Spirit. We have Robert Jaramillo in studio with us to ask the questions as well as to help answer them. So welcome to today's program, Rob.
Thank you. Okay, we have a first question here, Pastor Brian. Common question a lot of people want to know about is, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and is this the same as salvation?
Well, basically, this is a pretty lengthy question, or the answer will be lengthy. There's two primary views within the church today. There's a non-Pentecostal or non-charismatic viewpoint that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is the same thing as salvation, that when you are saved, the Holy Spirit fills you, comes into your life, and places you into the body of Christ, brings about conversion. All that is one and the same event, as well as empowers you for the ministry that God's called you to. The Pentecostal or charismatic position is that there's salvation at the point at which you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then the Holy Spirit comes into your life and takes up residence there, because Romans 8 verse 9 says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to the Lord. But then there's also another work that the Holy Spirit wants to do, and that's to empower you to be a witness for the ministry that God's called you to. And we'll take a look at a couple passages. First one starting in Mark chapter 1 and verse 8, where this is John the Baptist speaking. He says, I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He's speaking of Jesus, and this is something that Jesus will do. Jesus will baptize people with the Holy Spirit. Now, as I mentioned, the non-charismatic or non-Pentecostal position is that the baptism with the Holy Spirit takes place at salvation, and they primarily use 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 as support. And that reference says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And so they would link up the word here, Spirit, and the word baptizes there, and they would say that is what John was speaking about in Mark chapter 1, verse 8, which also took place on the day of Pentecost, as seen in the book of Acts. Now, it's important to notice that Mark 1:8 says Jesus is the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit here in 1 Corinthians 12:13 is the one that places you into the body of Christ. So we have Jesus doing something according to Mark 1:8, and according to 1 Corinthians 12:13, the Spirit is doing something. So these are two distinct events or activities that take place within God working within our life. Now, one of the things that we do see in the life of the apostles is that they received the Holy Spirit at one point, and then after that, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Because in John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22, Jesus appeared to them that time in between the resurrection and the time that he ascended. Then Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So this is before the day of Pentecost, before they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and here they received the Holy Spirit. And then also in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, Jesus said to this, after this event to them, to the same apostles, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So here we see the outworking of the Holy Spirit within the life of the apostles is that Jesus first breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But then he also said, stay here in Jerusalem until you are empowered with the Holy Spirit from on high. And then we go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, as well as verse 8, where Jesus appears to them again. He says, for truly John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And this event did take place after what we saw in John chapter 20. So here we see the apostles receiving the Holy Spirit, and now Jesus tells them, in a few days from now, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now here is the crucial thing about the baptism with the Holy Spirit, where I think some of the more extreme Pentecostal positions have been wrong. They focused on just the gift of tongues, because that's what is one of the main evidences there in Acts chapter 2. And they say the baptism with the Holy Spirit is that point in which you must speak in tongues or receive the gift of tongues, and that's the evidence. But once again, we need to go to Scripture, and Scripture tells us what this baptism with the Holy Spirit is, and that is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. So I believe the scriptures are clear that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not that saving act, but it's an empowering act so you can be a witness, whether that's in your hometown or a missionary or a pastor or evangelist or working in your children's ministry or whatever ministry God would call you into the local church. You need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish those things. And I believe that happens or is distinct from salvation. Now, we'll look at some other passages in the book of Acts, but thus far we've seen the apostles receive the Holy Spirit in John chapter 20, and that would be like us when we get saved and the Spirit of God resides within us and we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then yet there's another work, this empowering work, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that we could be involved in the work of ministry that God's called us to.
So then what you see is what John the Baptist talked about, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is doing that. 1 Corinthians, the Holy Spirit himself is bringing us into that body of Christ, so to speak.
Yeah, those are two distinct things.
And if you look at the Ephesians tells us we've been given that seal, the Holy Spirit. So you think this is something in common right here?
Sure, the sealing takes place when we're saved. It mm-hmm. is that mark that God identifies us, that we belong to him. That's what the word seal means there, to mark of ownership. So God seals us by giving us the Holy Spirit, saying this one's genuine, this one's mine, this one belongs to me.
And so then he places us into the body, the Holy Spirit does.
Yes.
Now, I'm kind of curious. So then you would see the baptism of the Holy Spirit or something like that upon experience you see in the scriptures. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. Because in the scriptures, it says the Holy Spirit will come upon you there in verse 8. Well, at salvation, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within us and places us into the body of Christ. And we're Christian at that point. But now we need the Holy Spirit to come upon us to empower us.
Now, do you have any other examples maybe in the Bible where we can see this upon experience taking place?
Yeah, there's two clear examples in the book of Acts. The first one is in Acts chapter 8. Well, actually, I think the first one is with the apostles. They received the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit came upon them there on the day of Pentecost. But in Acts chapter 8, the same process takes place where Philip goes to Samaria, preaches the word of God, and in Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, it reads this way. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame and were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So they heeded the word of God, which means they responded to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were believers. If you go down to verse 14 of Acts 8, it says, now when the apostles who are at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, again, that's they were saved. They sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he has not yet fallen, now here's the key word, upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So here you have people that are referred to as receiving the word of God and as being baptized in water. That's definitely Christians. But yet here, the apostles, in verse 17, says that they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So here we see this upon experience, this empowering experience, something that happened after these people responded to the gospel and as well as after they were baptized, showing that they were truly Christian. Now, as we come to this passage in Acts chapter 1 with the apostles, and then we see the same subsequent work of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 8, there are those that say, well, that's an exception. The apostles are an exception, and then those in Samaria are an exception. And the rationale is this. Well, they wanted to link up the church of Jerusalem with Samaria, so God withheld giving the Holy Spirit to them so that the apostles could participate in that and unifying the church. Now, first of all, we have to look at other scriptures. Romans 8 verse 9 says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to him. So that would violate that truth that Paul spoke about in Romans. And second of all, I don't think it's through men laying on of hands of people to unify the church. I think the Spirit brings unity. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you are one in the body of Christ. That's what brings unity, not man's actions. Now, once again, they say, well, that's an exception. And then I say, well, okay, well, let's look at another place. Acts chapter 19, we see the same similar thing happening where you find somebody receiving the Lord, baptized, and then the Apostle Paul here is going to lay hands on them, the Spirit of God comes upon them. Now, once again, people say, well, that's an exception. And my comment is, well, if you have an exception in Acts 1 and 2, and an exception in Acts chapter 8, an exception in Acts chapter 19, the exception seems to be becoming the norm. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'd make a distinction here between the work of the Holy Spirit in saving us, indwelling us, and then coming upon us to empower us. And in Acts 19, again, we see this process where Paul comes upon some disciples of John the Baptist, and they had not heard the full message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to those people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we definitely have believers. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They received the message that Paul preached about Jesus. Then it says in verse 6, "And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came," and there's that key word again, "upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." So here you have believers that were baptized, that heeded the message of Paul. Paul then laid his hands upon them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And that's different from conversion. And that seems to be that empowering work of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to be an effective witness. And oftentimes we do see in the book of Acts where gifts are imparted at this point. It's not mandatory that that takes place, but it seems to be that empowering of the Spirit to be involved in the ministry in this world to further the gospel. So I see here again, you have the Holy Spirit coming upon people, which is different from salvation. That's that empowering work, according to Acts 1, verse 8.
So we definitely see in the Bible, and there's times where people who are already believers, just like the apostles, Jesus said, "Here's my Holy Spirit, receive it." They believe on the Lord Jesus, they're saved. And he says, "But wait, by the way, because you're going to need power." And that's the pattern we see in the Bible.
Well, you know, if you think about it, when you tell someone about Jesus Christ, we don't really focus on saying you're going to receive power to be a witness. We say you're going to receive forgiveness, you're going to receive the gift of eternal life, you're going to be united with God. Then after that comes that aspect of being a witness and empowering of the Holy Spirit that we need. So that's not the gospel. The gospel is not that you're going to receive power to be a witness. The gospel is God's going to touch your life, bring forgiveness, and then he'll empower you to go out and be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. Boy, the time just flies by. It's too short, especially when answering questions on the Holy Spirit. But we'll be back tomorrow to continue some more questions and answers from the Scriptures.